good evening. It's now 7:30 Michigan time. Okay, and we're in the Epistle of Barnabas. Okay, page 161. Okay, of the lost books of the Bible and the forgotten books of Eden. Okay, now Barnabas right here worked with the Apostle Paul. Okay, and both of them continually shared the mystery of Christ, not only with each other, okay, building each other up in the faith, but also continue establishing and stewarding those, okay, those in their apostleship, okay, under their apostleship there. And you can see a lot of Barnabas's, a lot of Paul's thoughts with Barnabas' writings here, and also vice versa. Okay. But we're on page 161. We're in chapter 13 and starting in page in verse 9. Okay, verse 9 there. So get your notepad ready, you're highlighting your pen and get ready to take some notes here. Okay, in order to continue to offer the sacrifices of our lips unto the Lord. Okay, these things which the Lord has sanctified for our faith. Okay, now the Apostle Barnabas was talking about the rest, the R-E-S-T. Okay, the rest. Okay, which others, the scriptures bring out many different rests. Okay, and the rests, R-E-S-T, has to do with the steward and the covenant which God's provided for that rest to be manifested. Okay, as we see that which Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they enter into a rest, ceasing from their slavery, okay, under the aspirations of the wicked, okay, to that which was of faith. Okay, so they enter into a form of a rest. Okay, Moses gave them that deliverance. Okay, as Jesus also gave a rest, and as Joshua gave a rest, okay, as also King David gave the people rest, as Solomon gave the people rest. Okay, they rested from the afflictions of their enemies, as well as also from war, famine, and pestilence. Okay, war, famine, and pestilence. Okay, there's also a rest called the millennial rest, okay, where the earth ceases from its turbulences, okay, because Christ is personally down here during the millennium. Okay, we also have this covenant as our rest, okay, which again God is establishing for the confidence of the church. So that coming into rest, the Lord continues to confirm that mark, okay, with those signs following. Okay, with those signs following, okay, which accompanies that rest. Okay, I'll start here with verse 9. Lastly, he's in verse 9. Lastly, he said unto them, as concerning that rest in the previous verse, okay, when iniquity shall be no more, all things being renewed by the Lord shall be able to sanctify it, being ourselves first made holy. It is holy by faith in His Son, okay, showing He is our Sabbath day, contact point for our rest. Okay, when we touch Him and not the flesh of the things of that first covenant, Moses. Okay, lastly He said unto them, okay, your new moons and your Sabbaths I cannot bear. Okay, okay, now the reason why He said this is because these things were temporal. Okay, these things were temporal, being types and shadows of that which Christ would provide for us. Okay, an eternal pattern in Himself. Okay, lastly, He says here, He said unto them, your new moons and your Sabbaths, I cannot bear them. Okay, consider what He means by it, Barnabas says. The Sabbaths, says He, okay, which you now keep are not acceptable. Okay, it is the same thing which the Apostle Paul said to the Galatians. Okay, is your faith now made perfect, okay, by the law of Moses? No, it's not. Your faith cannot be completed by false contact points, by the law of Moses. Okay, so what He says right here, which you now keep are not acceptable contact points. Okay, they're not acceptable contact points. The things which are consumed, the things which represent loss, the things which represent death, okay, those things which Satan entered into, okay, all those things are earthbound. Okay, unto me, He says, they're not acceptable unto me, the Lord says, because it doesn't meet His expectation, absent of the divine. But those which I have made, okay, meaning Himself, but those which I have made, I provided you new contact points. Okay, not of the Sabbath, not of the tithe, See, not anything of the law of Moses, nothing of the flesh. He says, but these things, what I give to you, represent the eighth day. Okay, a divine rest. But those which I have made, when resting from all things, I shall begin the eighth day. That is the beginning of the other world, which also means this, which the eighth day is also the tenth week of Enoch. Okay, which Barnabas is bringing out here. Okay, there is a fulfillment of time of eternal rest. Okay, but God continually sustains us through each time period with each covenant. Okay, to bring us to the reality, okay, of His Christ. Okay, the reality of the work which is taking place in us right now. Okay, which is the tenth week. Okay, which cause, of course, which is our inheritance, verse 10. Which cause we saints, that means we saints now, observe the eighth day, see, with gladness. Which means we're observing that day that's not here yet. Okay, we're observing the day which isn't even present yet. We're observing a Sabbath day, not a day of time. Okay, but a day of a person. Okay, but a day of a person being Christ. Okay, so which cause we saints observe the eighth day. And we don't have 8 days in our weeks. We have 7 days a week. So this is a day, okay, which is not included within a normal period of time. Okay, which means it's a supernatural day. A day which we enter into by faith every day now. Okay, but at that time it will be the reality. Okay, for which of course this the eighth day takes place right after the millennium, okay, of Christ, right after the millennium. Verse 10, for which cause we saints now observe this present time, the eighth day with gladness, in which Jesus rose from dead, the third day, which is a spiritual day. The third day is a spiritual day. And the eighth day, okay, even though it is a literal time, but it is a spiritual time right now. And having manifested himself to his apostles, okay, ascended into heaven. Okay, so which Jesus rose from the dead, showing which of course showed a new week. Christ rising from the dead showed a new week in himself, being the first eighth week. Okay, which represents the eighth day. See the word the eighth week, the eighth day. Okay, but it was the first eighth week showing a time of rest. Okay, a time of restoring, okay, a time of newness, showing a new work. And a new week in himself, the first eighth week. So the Sabbath man of our rest, he's a Sabbath man of our rest, which whereas we rest from sin. Okay, we rest from our labors of those things which consume the soul. Sin consumes the soul. Okay, like frost would consume fruit on a tree. Okay, like frost or adverse weather would affect fruit on a tree. So also sin and iniquity have adverse effects upon the soul. Okay, making it weak, okay, and contemptible, you know, to the smell of God. Okay, verse 11. It remains yet that I speak to you concerning the temple. This is the types and shadows he's talking here. It remains yet that I have that I speak to you concerning the temple. Okay, of those miserable men being carnal minded, okay, being deceived, have put their trust in the house, the carnal house, and not in a person, but in the house. Okay, so Barnabas is making a distinction right here between those who still want to please God, okay, on the terms of the wrong covenant. They're not rightly dividing the Word of God. Okay, they're not rightly dividing the Word of God because they're not putting it in its proper covenants, nor in its proper weeks. Okay, and this is and those which do not rightly divide the Word of God, fall into error, okay, and embrace fables. Okay, because that's the only thing that they can lean towards in order to try to discover themselves or to create a relationship, okay, through these things which corrupt the soul. Okay, it says, and not in God, okay, Christ or spiritual house. We got two different houses here. Okay, one that the carnal minded construct out of themselves, and that which Christ provided for us in himself. Okay, the true rest. Okay, so they putting it not in God, okay, putting it not in God, okay, lean towards fables, but those who put it in God, okay, free themselves from those things which entangle the soul, okay, and have a true hope. Okay, those of the carnal house put it not in the house of God, not in God himself, who made them. Okay, he provided the bodies, okay, for them, but not for them to sanctify by their imagination. It's only sanctified by faith in God. Okay, the imagination does not sanctify anything. Okay, it's all imaginary. Okay, and now you see this. Okay, you see this manifestation in certain denominations. Okay, whereas they go about to perform many different kinds of sanctifications. Okay, for the people, so that the people will be considered holy. As sprinkling of water, okay, and the partaking of the wafer, okay, the passing of the communion cup, okay, the wiping of the cup, the wardrobes, okay, of the priest, okay, and also the choir, okay, the laymen, okay, all these things, okay, all these things are concerning, okay, carnal contact points, okay, as if it were the habitation of God. Okay, but these things are unsanctified contact points. They're apart from the Spirit. Okay, the Spirit and government work together, not separate. Okay, and people fall into error when they sever revelation from government. Okay, when they pursue these things, you know, and these revelations outside from that which God has sanctified, okay, they'll fall into error, seducing spirits. Okay, will inflame the imagination. Okay, verse 12. For much after the same manner as the Gentiles, they consecrated him in the temple. They consecrated him in the temple of the soul and not stone, because the Gentiles were also engrafted into the vine by faith in Jesus Christ. But learn, therefore, how the Lord speaks, rendering the temple vain. That means the first covenant contact point being temporary. So Barnabas is penning here is concerning that first covenant. See how God rendered it as vain. Now, how did he show the people that it was a place of false confidence? And where he's going to bring us out here. Right, who has measured the heaven with a span and the earth with his hand. See, is it not I? So thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house, the carnal house, that you will build me? Okay, so he says, and up there in verse 13, who has measured the heaven with a span and the earth with his hand? Who has done this? Because he entered a dimension to establish a pattern, okay, which was small. How much the temple of stone? How much smaller the temple of stone, which man constructed just for himself? Okay, it cannot contain the glory of God. Okay. Okay, let's go on here. So what is the house that you will build me? The carnal house. Okay, or what is the place of my rest? There's the word rest again, so if you want to highlight that. Okay, or underline that, draw a line from the word rest there to the word resting up there in verse 9. So the apostle Barnabas is still on the same thought here. Okay, the word rest has to go here. Not rest of a building, okay, but the rest meaning that of the bosom of the Father. Okay, first the bosom of our own soul, our own bodies, and then the bosom of the Father. There's where your rest would be found. See? Okay? We abide in him and he in us. Okay? He abides in us and we in him. Okay? As the cycle continues in work of regeneration. So not a building and a stone, but in the bosom. Okay? The bosom of a body, meaning Christ himself. See? So what is the place of my rest? Where is the destiny of my abode? Back in the bosom of my Father. Okay? And that's what Jesus said, Father, I will, they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me from the foundation of the world. Before the world was created, what glory was Jesus talking about? The brightness. Okay, the brightness of his essence, the virtue, okay, his power, okay, being the Father. That's our destiny. Okay, that which we will behold, which means not only to behold, I mean, we're just not going to be staring at it, we'll be embracing it. Okay, we'll be a very part of that. That's why he says we are grafted into the vine. Okay, we're just not a leaf floating from the vine. We're engrafted as a branch into the vine. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He didn't say I'm the vine, you are the leaf. Okay, a leaf which fades and falls off. He says, but I'm the vine, you are the branches being engrafted into it. Okay, we're showing you are a very part of my divinity. Okay, you are very part, okay, of the Godhead. Okay, in me. That's our destiny. Okay, that was our origin. Okay, that was our origin, but we came into this dimension by God's command and by his plan, fulfilling those things which he has set for our faith. So that being proven that our love towards him is greater than that of the imagination, okay, he would trust us with the true riches of entering back into that glory. Okay, But now, having matured within his dimension by the work of his Spirit, okay, that we are found competent by that engrafting to enter back into him, not of our own self, but of him. Okay. Know therefore that all their hope is vain, he says in Barnabas goes on verse 13 here, that all their hope is vain. All their hope is vain, who worship carnal things, okay, and suffer loss, not seeing nor understanding that rest which God gives in the soul. Okay. The false religious system continually tries to create a relationship outside the government. It will never happen. It won't happen. It can't happen because it's contrary to the plan which God has initiated through his Son. It's contrary to it. Okay. Being contrary, okay, it possesses a different spirit. Okay, it's under the shadow of a different knowledge. Okay, it's producing a different offspring, a different fruit, okay, which God does not accept. Okay, verse 14, and again, he speaks after this matter. Behold, they that destroyed this temple, now God showing the temporariness of it, okay, that he was not initiating an eternal inheritance in something that was so temporal. Okay, God was not putting us through the paces of suffrage. Okay, of contrariness, to give us something, okay, of a very temporal honor. Okay, and this is what the world pursues, like you see in the Olympics. Okay, how those which, okay, run in those races, okay, put themselves under a very strict diet and exercise in order to achieve something that's temporal. Okay, a very temporary honor. Okay, that they achieve, an honor which they carry with them to the grave. And then, of course, in time, you find some of these medals surfacing in the Salvation Army. Okay, you see some of these things. You see a lot of trophies down there in the Salvation Army. Okay, you see all these things out there. And I saw a whole bunch of them on the front lawn one time. And it wasn't for a garage sale. It was for the garbage truck. Okay, a whole bunch of trophies were sitting out there. Okay, and that people expend so much energy for such temporal things. But God, the inheritance which God has provided for us, is not temporal; it's eternal, okay? And it only excels. Okay? It will never be put out in the front lawn for the garbage man. Okay, so that's what he's showing here in verse 14, is concerning destroying the temple. How such glory is so temporal, and the Jews were so adamant as concerning its competence. Okay? But the Lord showed that putting confidence in such earthly things. Okay, is a false confidence by removing it through war. Okay, so he destroyed that temple. Even they shall again build it up. Okay, and so it came to pass, for through their wars, it is now destroyed by their enemies, showing the temporariness and how Satan dominated, being in the time of the impious. Okay, and destroyed by their enemies, and the servants of their enemies build it up, showing carnal things shall perish. Now, furthermore, verse 15, it has been made manifest, evident to mind, how both the city, being Jerusalem, the temple, being Solomon's, and the people, okay, falling into sin, and the people, Israel, should be given up. Okay, showing everything right here was only of a temporary value. Okay, why was God doing that? Okay, so that we would not trust in carnal things. Okay, that we would not pursue that same destructive behavior as they did. That we will free ourselves by faith in Jesus Christ, the eternal things. But the scripture says this, and it shall come to pass in the last days, which we're living in, that the Lord will deliver up the sheep of his pasture and their fold and a tower into destruction. Okay, at that time in the fulfillment and the last days, okay, which would also take place during the time of Antichrist. Okay, that is the destruction, dismantling of that temple, the apostate temple which he will build. Okay, will be dismantled and a millennium temple will be constructed. But even the millennium temple is temporary. Okay, God is going to create a new heaven, new earth. So what is he saying? That which he constructed during the millennium is also temporary. But it has a purpose to it. Okay, it has a purpose to it because it's going to point to the one who's on the mercy seat. Okay, and it has come to pass as the Lord has spoken, right, concluding that covenant. Okay, verse 16, let us inquire therefore. Okay, let's investigate this in comparison to that which is perishable, to that which is imperishable. Okay, that which is made common and can be defiled, to that which is holy and cannot be defiled, which is from heaven. So let us inquire therefore whether there be any temple of God. Well, yes, there is. Okay, That's in the back in the bosom of the Father. See, and that there where Himself declares, okay, that we would both make and perfect it concerning ourself and His bosom, the destiny, okay, the destiny of the righteous. Okay, verse 16. For it is written, and it shall be that as soon as the week shall be accomplished or completed, that Christ has built a new temple for us, being the first eighth week, that the week shall accomplish and completed, the temple of the Lord shall be gloriously built in the name of the Lord, showing the younger, or say the younger is better than the elder. The elder shall serve the younger. That which is first is temporal and perishes, and that which is secondly, okay, will prevail, okay, and rule. Okay, as this is what John the Baptist said, that I must decrease, but He must increase. Okay, and John the Baptist was the very last prophet of that covenant, the first covenant. Okay, and that's why he said, I must decrease, showing that those things which he confirmed, which was Moses and preparing the hearts of the people to receive the Lamb of God, okay, was to be done away, showing his temporariness. And it pointed to that which is eternal, okay, the one that was coming. Whereas he said, I have need to be baptized of you, and do you baptize me? And Jesus says, suffer it to be so, to fulfill all righteousness concerning that law of Moses. Okay? Showing John's conclusion and Jesus' beginning for a new covenant. Okay, so in this new covenant, the first 8 week, being himself and not stone. Okay, verse 17. I find, therefore, that there is a temple. Okay? Now, how shall it be built in the name of the Lord? Okay, it's built by the Spirit, isn't it? Okay, now Barnabas says, now I'm going to show you this. Okay, before that we believed in God, the habitation of our heart was corruptible and feeble, as a temple truly built with hands. Okay, that we were vulnerable to the elements, spiritually speaking. As a temple made of stone or skin, was also vulnerable to the elements. It was vulnerable to change. Okay, and we can see this in the book of Nehemiah, which we've been reading, okay, at the construction of the temple, and also that during even the times of the construction of Solomon's temple, okay, during that time they had to have repairers, the carpenters, okay, had to come in and repair those things, and the masons had to go in and also refurbish, okay, the Levites had to go in and do business, okay, you would see scaffolding, okay, just like you do in modern city, you see scaffolding there. Okay, that they were refurbishing the temple, showing its temporariness. So not that which is of hands, okay, that which is without hands, is what is God is constructing within us. Okay, verse 19. For it was a house full of idolatry, a house of devils, also a soul of passions as that of beasts. What did they bring into the temple? That which is corruptible. What else did they bring in the temple? That which is on all fours. Okay. And also that in the temple was defiled with what? With blood. It was defiled with the blood of beasts, which represents the passions of Adam's nature being defiled, showing that that temple was not efficient to cleanse the heart yet. Okay? The conscience cannot be purged with such temporal things, okay? But with better sacrifices, meaning Christ. Okay? A house of devils, he calls it. A house of devils. Wow. Okay? The same thing with demonic theology. Okay, and of course, demonic theology, of course, is the doctrines of the mother of harlots, okay, which is prevailing in the minds of those that are in that system, okay, teaching them faith in God through false knowledge, okay, which makes faith ineffectual and their charity vain. Okay, for it is a house full of idolatry, a house of devils, inasmuch as there was done in it whatsoever was contrary to God. Okay, because everything that's feeble is not divine. Okay, everything that's feeble is not divine. Okay, because that which is divine is of power. Okay, that which is feeble is that which is consumed. See, there's things that are limited by time, that's feeble. There's things which time cannot contain, and that's eternal. But it should be built in the name of the Lord, that is showing another frame and a better way, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews. Verse 20, consider how that the temple of the Lord should be very gloriously built. Okay, no matter how much gold and precious stones he put in the temple, it still was destroyed by the Romans. Okay, so that when he says gloriously built, we know it wasn't that of the temple, you know, and the temple things that is built of flesh. Okay, but we are building the tower of the Lord through the Spirit. Every day we're putting stones of his virtue upon this temple, upon that tower, see, which we're building. Now, when that tower is complete, the rapture is going to take place. So you want to continually be steadfast in the doctrine of Christ so that when the tower is complete, you also may be received of the Lord, with being without spot and without blemish. When the tower of the Lord is completed, we're out of here. We're gone. We're raptured, see? Okay, the Lord will remove us, because if the work's completed, the laborers leave. Okay, when the work is completed, the laborers leave. The day is completed. We're punching out, spiritually speaking. Okay, consider how that the temple of the Lord shall be very gloriously built, and by what means that shall be. And he says, no, let's look at this, investigate and learn. Verse 21, having received remission of our sins, trusting in the name of the Lord, of that of the second covenant, we are become, actually something better now, we are become renewed, better than that which is of the temple of stone. The temple of stone needed repair by man, but the temple of stone needs repair by the Spirit. And this work of regeneration far exceeds that which is something temporary. Being again created, as it were, from the beginning, as that which is established in the bosom of our Father. Okay, we are being prepared for that destiny at this present time. Wherefore God truly dwells in our house, that is, in us, okay, which Christ purchased with his own blood, and not the blood of an animal. Okay, the blood of an animal cannot possibly provide the divine nature within us. It's impossible. Okay, verse 22. But how does he dwell in us, that is, in our temple? He dwells in us by not physical sacrifices, but by spiritual sacrifices. Now, let's look at some of these spiritual sacrifices he's talking about right here. Okay, I number about five of them. Okay, he dwells in this temple here, okay, not with that of an animal, but that which is here, the word of his faith. Okay, the plan which we reflect on, the knowledge which we express, that's the word of his faith. Okay, the calling of his promise, spiritual things, see? The wisdom of his righteous judgments, which those which continually mature be able to identify that sign and work. Okay, the commands of his doctrine, spiritual things, again, spiritual things. He himself prophesies within us. In fact, you should underline or highlight that one. That's a good one. Okay, he himself prophesies within us. Okay, when you express his virtue, you're expressing Christ. Okay, you're reflecting back to him his likeness as in a mirror. He himself prophesies within us. He himself dwells in us. Okay, opening to us who were in bondage of death, the gate of our temple. What is that gate he's talking about here? The gate of our temple. What that is? Our mouth. Okay, our mouth. See, that's the confession of our faith. We are confessing Christ. Okay, this is the gate of our temple. That is our mouth. And this, of course, gives direction. Okay, and give substance in our soul. That is, the mouth of wisdom, having given repentance unto us, and by this means has brought us into an incorruptible temple, by the second Moses, not the first Moses, but the second Moses, as we see in chapter 12, verse 14, of Barnabas, where the Lord said, Moses, Moses. Okay, carnal temple, spiritual temple. Okay, Moses being the carnal temple, constructing the carnal temple, and the second Moses, meaning Christ that would come, the second Moses, everybody always asked him, are you that prophet that Moses said should come, being the second Moses, see? And Jesus was the second Moses, and he's also called the second Adam, because he provided a new law, and he provided us a new signature, okay, to be born again, a new pattern for a signature to be healed, okay, a new pattern for a signature to be healed. Okay, we didn't receive a brand new signature, or else what would be the purpose of regeneration? Okay, the thing of it is that the work of regeneration begins to engrave within us his likeness. That's when we become born again. We're born again by the truth, by the Spirit. Okay, so the second Moses, and by the mercies of David, okay, by the key of the Spirit, not precept of mind. Okay, by the key of the Spirit, not by the precept of mind. Okay, which gives us liberty from the curse of the law. The key of David gives us liberty from the curse of the law. Okay, and this is where he also brings the same thing out in the book of Revelation. Okay, as concerning and the church of Philadelphia. Okay, whereas he says, these things saith he, and he says here, I know, these things saith he that's holy, he that's true, he that has the key of David. Need the key of David. Hey, which gives us new direction of promise. That which is the Spirit, not in precept and line, not in the law of Moses, but gives us new direction and frees us from condemnation and a curse of the law. Which, without the Spirit of the Lord, David would be condemned, okay, for having eaten the display bread, okay, which is in the temple. He was not allowed to touch that show bread, was he? Okay, but he did, as by the Spirit of the Lord. And we also, as by the Spirit of the Lord, okay, we're able to touch those things which are holy now, okay, which he's provided for us, as by the mercies of David. Okay, verse 23. He therefore that desires to be saved looks not or does not serve those things which are temporal, and looks not unto man, which is beastly, the temporal, okay, but unto him, which is God, the divine, that dwells in him, okay, which now dwells in our heart, and we speak by him, and speaks by him, which is charity. He now dwells in us, and we speak by him, speaking a whole different language. Okay, not a language which knowledge is dead, but a language which knowledge is living and eternal. Okay, a whole different lifestyle, a whole different language, because we are living in a different house now. Okay, and whereas we're ordering our conversation aright. Okay, which means we're speaking those things which only confirm him. Okay, and not those things which confirm death. Okay, and it goes on right here. Okay, and speaks by him, charity, and a contact point, being struck with wonder for as much, and this is the word wonder right there, okay, which of course is also the signs of the apostle in all patience, signs, wonders, and mighty deeds, okay, which the apostle Paul brings out, same thing which Barnabas is saying right here, okay, the mark of his work, the mark of that regeneration is a wonder, saying that our direction and our direction of life and our adorning is different now than it was previously when we were in bondage or shackled to sin. Okay, we're shackled to those things which were destructive. Okay, let's go on here, and speaks by him, being struck with wonder for as much as he never either heard him speaking such words out of his mouth, nor ever desired to hear them, but only those whose heart is circumcised and have pure hands. Okay, we desire the fellowship of those, okay, who speak those things which bring life. Okay. All right, verse 24, this is what Paul says. This is that spiritual temple, speaking of you, okay, and myself. This is that spiritual temple whose sacrifices are of that from above. Okay, the spiritual sacrifices he brings out in verse 22. If you want to make a line up there, you can do that. From verse 24 to 22, this is that temple that is built unto the Lord, and we're constructing that. Okay, virtue upon virtue, grace upon grace, faith upon faith. Okay, ever continually constructing. Okay, this work. Okay, without ceasing, because our labor is not, okay, which is a sweat of the brow, which was a type and shadow we can see, which type and shadow we foresee in the priesthood, which they were to wear linen garments which will not induce sweat. Okay, that showed that the work of the Spirit within us will be without physical labor. Okay, which, by the way, the sweat was a curse put upon man, which curse is removed in Jesus Christ. See that? Everything that's earthbound induces that labor which produces sweat. But that which God provided us does not produce sweat. Whose labor, our labor, which is in his rest, okay? Whereas Jesus said himself, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, produces no sweat. This is our priesthood, which produces no sweat, which rest is glorious, okay? Which means it's perpetual, eternal, and in him. Okay, as he is inviting in us. Okay, now we're up here now to chapter 14. Let's read on and see what else we can learn here. Okay, as you construct your sacrifices here, as the apostle Barnabas brings out, okay, he himself prophesies within us. Alright, now chapter 14. And thus I trust, okay, I have declared unto you as much as inasmuch and with great simplicity as I could, those things which make for your salvation, so as not to have omitted anything that might be requisite thereunto, which means everything I put down here, Barnabas said, everything that I penned here for your reading was for the purpose of bringing your understanding along, okay, in the fulfillment of those things, okay, which the Spirit gave to Moses and the prophets and the patriarchs. Right? And how through these things we can discover also our own spiritual life. okay, through these things. Okay, our spiritual priesthood is seen in these things. So we can discover ourselves, okay, in this. That means we can see Christ working within us. Okay, verse 2. For I should speak further of things that now are, and of those things that are to come. That'd be interesting. I wish Barnabas would have gone to even more detail on this. For the sake of our learning at this time, 2,000 years removed since he wrote this, okay? And things and of those that are to come, you he says here, you would not yet understand them. And of course, this is during the time of the first eighth week when the apostles shared, okay, and unfolded the depths of the mysteries of Christ to them, and yet, okay, yet there was, you say, a limit upon their saturation, okay, of understanding these things. Which, of course, I know even this evening, okay, there's a certain limit of saturation of understanding that you're going to meet. Okay, but give it patience, okay, and within a year from now, okay, this of course the border of that saturation is going to increase as the Lord increases His grace towards you and your heart increases and becomes enlarged, okay, through your use of the tools. Okay, now let's go on here. Okay, and you will not yet understand them, seeing they lie in parables. In parables, he talks about types and shadows. Okay, this therefore shall suffice as to these things at this present time. That's what he's saying when he's writing this letter to those. But now, in verse 3, he says, let us now go on to the other kind of knowledge. Okay, in other words, instead of speaking these things in parables and unfolding these mysteries of Christ, let's work at the effect of what he's doing in you now. Okay, so let's go on. So let's now go to the other kind of knowledge, okay? Not false knowledge, okay? But now in comparison, okay? But in comparison of the false knowledge, but not the false knowledge, but in comparison of that, okay? Okay, as we continue to embrace this holy knowledge, so let us now go on to the other kind of knowledge, verse 3, and doctrine. Now there are two ways of doctrine. Now this is what we've been bringing out, and it's going to be on their website pretty soon, as concerning fables. Okay, it's very good, and it will really help you to understand what is happening. Okay, and the power of these fables. It's just we're going to go into more detail on it. I forgot how many pages it is. About 8 pages. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. So there's 8 pages on that. So there's about 12 pages. Okay, because we'll be talking also about seducing spirits in that also. Okay, well, let's go on here. In verse 3, now there are two ways of doctrine and truth, he says. There are two ways of doctrine and power, which has to do with the Spirit and truth. There are two ways, which means there's two influences, two powers that work with this knowledge. Okay, the one of light, the other of darkness. Okay, that means the original and a counterfeit. Okay, now Barnabas, at this time, being an apostle, he thought it was important to bring to the attention of the saints, okay, that there is another influence out there that you have to watch out for, that you have to beware of Satan's wiles. A wile, of course, has to do with a plan or a trick. Okay, whereas he tries to bring you into his kingdom, okay, through the challenge of knowledge. He tries to entangle you. That's what he did with Eve. See, he entangled Eve in his wiles, his trick of words. Okay, and by doing this, it removes Eve from the pattern of faith into the pattern of her own reason, okay, and to take a shortcut to divinity, okay, apart from due process of Christ, okay. So here the Apostle Barnabas says there's a way of light, one of light, and the other of darkness, and there is a great deal of difference between these two ways, powers and kingdoms, okay. For over one are appointed the angels of God, okay. These are the ministering spirits which are sent forth to us. All right, for our salvation, okay, bringing us unto us the grace of God, okay, giving us dreams and giving us visions, okay, and also providing also divine sensations, if you want to call it that, okay, heat, electricity, okay, and other things. Okay, I'm not talking about the natural. I'm not talking about the coming down and, you know, and becoming light bulbs for us, okay, but rather, you know, that which is initiated within us, okay. Okay, that means revealing the presence of the of God's holy presence in these things. Okay, for over one are appointed the angels of God, the leaders of the way of light, which is the holy knowledge, holy and ordered knowledge. Now, over the other, Barnabas goes on, he says, the angels of Satan. Okay, remember, the angels of God confirm God's signature. which is his righteousness, which is Christ. Let the angels of Satan to confirm his signature, which has to do with false knowledge and the principle of man, which is also an earthly spirit. Okay, it's an earthly spirit because it's contaminated knowledge. Okay, and the one is the Lord from everlasting to everlasting, but and the other, of course, is that of this time, temporary. Okay, the other is the prince of the time of the unrighteous. Okay, that means, of course, being of this world of the flesh. Okay, and verse 5. Now the way of light. Now, by the way, as we go through and read these things, it'd be good to, you know, to highlight, to underline, and make little notes as you go through, and also put a check mark next to the verse here that ministers to you. Okay, we can go back and write it down, like on a 3x5 card, and review this. You can review this. Okay, and it will, and you will, and you will see how the Spirit will enter into it, giving you strength. Okay, it's really neat how the Lord does this. Verse 5, now the way of light, which is the holy knowledge, is this. If anyone desires to attain to that place, which is, of course, is the place of our rest, being in him, that is appointed for him, and will hasten there by his works, of course, these are works of faith. These are the works which we read over here in verse 22 of the other chapter. The word of his faith, the calling of his promise, the wisdom of his righteous judgments, the commands of his doctrine. He prophesies within us, he himself dwells in us and opens to us. We're in bondage, the bondage of death, the gate of our temple, that is the mouth of wisdom. Okay, these are things, okay, these are the works which we're talking about over here. Okay, and the knowledge that has been given to us, okay, that means the knowledge that is given to us for walking in it, which has to do with, this is the activity which is agreeable to God. This activity is agreeable to God by which we keep in cadence with him. Okay, keeping in cadence, which means we're keeping in step. Okay, we're keeping in step with him. We're not falling behind. We're not rushing ahead. We're keeping in step with him. Okay, and that takes patience and learning, okay, to do that. Okay, now the knowledge that has been given to us is for walking into his rest with these things, to this effect, for regeneration. Okay, you shall love him. That means you shall love God. You shall love him that made you. You shall glorify him. That means glorify God that has redeemed you from death. Of course, we glorify him, okay, by building. Okay, we glorify him by building, because the word glorify also means to bring from one point to another point. Okay, it's to expand. Okay, we glorify the Lord through expanding his kingdom. Okay, by dining on his fruit. Okay, now verse 6, he says, you should be simple in heart. I mean, being free from guile. Okay, being free from guile, distraction, and focus, being sober-minded. Okay, and rich in spirit. And that's good, be rich in spirit. Okay. All right, of course, the word rich right there has to do with that. Obtaining knowledge. Okay, obtaining that knowledge which is profitable and will advance you. Same thing Paul said. Okay, in Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, you should be simple in heart, rich in the spirit. Okay, you shall not cleave to those who walk in the way of death. The word cleave right there is as concerning to engraft yourself into their knowledge or fellowship. Okay, which of course, or actively agreeing with those ways which destroy the soul. You don't want to do that. Okay, so that's why it's good. You have to take time, focus to develop good habits. Okay, it just takes time to do that. Okay, that's why it's good to get a calendar and mark on that. You have to sit down and actually write yourself out a plan. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I'm going to spend my time. Okay, I don't want to expend my time in vain things. I want to spend my time in things that profit the soul. Okay, and that becomes your way of life as you continue. End the journey takes the first step. Okay, to end your journey. Okay. Okay, so you take that first step and you're on your way to completing your journey there. Okay, this is what he says here, you shall hate to do anything that's not pleasing to God. And that's kind of a strong word there, the word hate. Okay, which means to hold at a distance is an abomination. Okay, and the more you smell the things of God, okay, and you're familiar with those things, okay, you're able to discern those things which are highly offensive to God. Okay, you can actually smell. Okay, the iniquity. You can actually smell iniquity. It does have a smell to it. Righteousness has a smell to it. Iniquity has a smell to it. Of course, the Apostle Paul brought that out too, that we are also in a God as a sweet-smelling Savior of Christ. Okay, which means that His righteousness is permeating our bones. Okay, and that we are giving off the odor of His presence. Okay? Okay, you shall hate to do anything that is not pleasing to God, being abominable. Okay, you shall abhor all dissimulation. Okay, we'll talk about that, which has to do with the variance of false knowledge. Okay, and of course, variance of false knowledge has to do with, has to put a twist, a fault. Okay, put a disrepair. Okay, you're sitting in a different, you're sitting in a different direction was intended. So you shall abhor all this dissimulation, which has to do with you're dissimulating the truth, and we don't want to dissimulate the truth. Okay, so but dissimulation takes place through fables. Okay, you shall not neglect any of the commands of the Lord. Of course, that gives life to the soul. You shall not exalt yourself as to project your own self honor. Okay, which of course causes headiness. Okay, you shall be humble. That means you're subdued to pride by grace. Okay, God resists the grace. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay, so you shall not exalt yourself as to project for your own honor, but you shall be humble. You shall not take honor to yourself, showing your self worth. Okay, for the honor of man. Okay, you shall not enter into any wicked counsel against your neighbor. Goes right back to Psalms 1, doesn't it? Okay, right back to Psalms 1. Barnabas reflects on that. We do the same thing in our sacrifices. Okay. It's good to reflect on that because it will direct you in righteousness. Okay, you shall not be overconfident in your heart. That means building upon your signature and not truth, being overconfident. You shall not commit fornication nor adultery. Okay, neither shall you corrupt yourself with mankind, because you want to avoid fruitless contact, which ruins your morals. That's fruitless contact. It just ruins you in morals there. Okay, so you want to avoid those things that do that. And God will free you from that practice. He can do that. Okay, God can do that. He freed Mary Magdalene from that practice. Okay, when she came in contact with Jesus. And of course, as we come in contact with the tool. So he's freeing us through the work of regeneration. This produces soundness in your mind, see? This also produces a consistency in your heart that wasn't there before. See, it's because of a lack of consistency that you fell into incontinency. Okay? You fell into acts of incontinency because of lack of consistency. Okay? But consistency comes with these things which God's provided for us, which frees us from the bondage of those things which are fruitless. It's fruitless activity. Okay? You shall not make use of the Word of God to any impurity. That means causing to make fables, to set someone's heart aflame in emulation and sinning against God. And that's what a fable does. It inflames the heart. It inflames the heart, okay, in emulation. Because you want to equal or to excel that which has been promised to you, okay, through these fables. Okay? And one fable, like a Jewish fable today that's very popular, is tithing. That's a Jewish fable. Because people are building upon, Old Testament precept of mine. Okay, saying, if I give my 10%, then God will prosper me and bless me. See, that's a Jewish fable. Okay, because under that covenant, God entered into that because that was the law of that covenant. But now when people today practice that precept of mine, it is a Jewish fable. And it sets the heart aflame in emulation against those that make proclamation. See, I gave my 10% to this ministry, and look, I got now millions of dollars. There's a fable for you, see. It sets people away from the things of the Lord, okay, into their own preservation of peace and security. Okay, you see that? That's a Jewish fable. There's other Jewish fables, too, like another one, too. There's a popular book that was just put out called Prayer of Jabez. Okay, that's a Jewish fable too. Okay, and it sets people's hearts aflame with emulation and variance and strife and sedition. Okay, against truth and against each other. Okay, as to compete to find self-worth so that they have a testimony. Okay, of God's involvement. You want a testimony of God's involvement? You use the tools because that's what He's involved with. His mercy is in His tools, isn't it? Okay, so you see how dangerous those things are, and look how popular those fables are. Fables. They are very popular, very powerful, and Paul prophesied, foreseeing in the Spirit, okay, that they shall, in the last days, that they shall give heed to fables. Okay, they will give heed to these fables, okay, and despise the truth. We'll see that in Timothy, okay, in the writing of Timothy there. Okay, you shall not accept any man's person, in verse 9, as to aspire to justify. Okay, when you reprove anyone's faults. Now, reproving a false is not with principles, with truth. Okay, you're giving direction for faith. Okay, you're giving direction for faith so that they can remove those things which are offensive. Okay, those defects that are in them. you shall be gentle. Okay? Handling faith, as he brings out here, you should be gentle and you should be quiet, which means handle with faith and talk less. I like that. Handle with faith and talk less. Because you notice that when you counsel people with a lot of talk, okay, all it does is embolden the mind, but it doesn't give substance to the soul. It's the substance of the soul that brings stability, not the thinking. Okay, not just the thinking pattern. Not the spirit, but the spirit and the soul have to be joined together. Okay, and faith is what does this. Okay, faith brings the soul and the spirit together in unity, that they will be one. Okay, not hostile towards each other. And with that, you have strength. When the spirit and soul can come together in agreement and cadence with the things of the Lord, you have strength then, see? Okay, but outside of that, okay, you're going to fall into, again, many trials and temptations. Okay? Now, you shall tremble at the words that you have heard, okay, so that you will walk in the fear of God and not man. Okay, you shall not keep hatred in your heart against any brother, your brother there. You shall not entertain any doubt, whether it be or not, whether it should be or not. Why focus on the things that Satan can exhibit in your soul or exploit? Okay, exploit. Why do we want to focus on those things where Satan can exploit in your soul? Okay, and also if you do that, it will sully your faith. Okay, it will sully your faith. It will spoil your faith. And it spoils your faith. You also become food for the serpent. Okay, you become food for the serpent. Okay, walking on all fours, you know, like a little hamster there, you become food for the serpent. Okay, and also there are particular snakes that go for rats. Okay, or mice. Okay, and the serpent follows rats. Okay, those who follow the ways of the world are as the rats. Okay, verse 10. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain, which means you're not allowed to project your principle with biblical content for faith. Okay, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That is not to project your principle with biblical content for faith. This is what Kenneth E. Hagin taught. Okay, which he fell also into fables himself. Okay, he not only filmed the fables, but he was also a fabulizer. Okay, he created them. That'd be Satan's seat. Okay, that's Kenneth Copeland, Oral Roberts, A.A. Allen. It goes way back. Okay, where these fabulizers began to exploit the fears of the people with promises of health and wealth. Okay, the promises of health and wealth. Okay, let's go on here. Okay, you shall love your neighbor above your own soul. That means correcting yourself before you do another. You shall not destroy your this is a good one, verse 11 right here. Okay, and of course this is also in the book of Enoch. And sort of Barnabas is telling the Gentiles, okay, which is a common practice. You shall not destroy your conceptions before they are brought forth, nor kill them after they are born. Okay, and even spiritually speaking. Okay, allow the truth of God to take root within you. Okay, as well as also naturally speaking. Okay, so this is a good one right here. I'm surprised Pat Robertson hasn't found that one yet and exploited that one. Okay, verse 12. All right, you should not withdraw your hand from your son, okay, or from your daughter, but shall teach them from their youth the fear of the Lord. What are you teaching them? You're teaching them responsibility, not pleasures. The world teaches you the pleasure. Okay, faith in God teaches you the responsibility. Okay, and all of us were victimized by that system. I was victimized by that, and you were victimized by that. Because ever since you were brought up and you went to school, what did he teach you? They didn't teach you responsibility, they taught you pleasure. Okay, they taught you pleasure to utilize these things in order to advance yourself. Okay, and to live free-spirited. Okay, free-spirited. Okay, apart from any responsibility. Okay, you should not withdraw your hand, which means you have to put effort. Not withdraw your hand, which means you have to keep your hand on him. Okay, don't withdraw your hand. Keep your hand on that little guy. Okay, because if you don't, they're going to run off and fall into many temptations. Okay, verse 13. Okay, you should not covet your neighbor's goods. Okay, as concerned, you have to restrict your imagination by faith. Okay, not to let your eyes wander over the things that you want. Okay, neither should you be an extortioner. There's the word extortion there, verse 13. You might want to highlight that. And to make gain by threat or by threat of loss or gain, and of course again turning truth into fable. Okay, this is what they teach you. If you don't tithe, you're going to lose. That's extortion because you're putting into a frame of mind, a frame of thought, a peer. Okay, to the point where you actually practically throw your money at the preacher. Okay, in order to find that blessing. Okay, there is no blessing in a lie. Okay, except what you want to create for your imagination. Okay, you can create anything in your imagination. With your imagination, you can fly to Mars. Okay, but the soul demands reality. Okay, you have to use the tools. Neither shall your heart be joined to proud men. Okay, neither shall your heart be joined to proud men, those which resist grace. Don't fellowship with those, okay, that are projectors of the imaginations. Okay, but he says here, but you shall be numbered among the righteous and the lowly. Okay, among the righteous and the lowly. Our fellowship is with that of faith, no matter what their social standing is. You fellowship with those of faith. Whatever events shall happen unto you, this is a good one to memorize too. In fact, I put a check mark next to that one. Okay, so whatever events shall happen unto you, you shall receive them as good, because these are God's judgments which will teach you His ways. These are God's judgments which will teach you His ways. Okay, and so this is a good one to meditate upon. Think about that. Whatever event shall happen to you, these are the God's righteous judgments, see? You shall receive them as good, because God is involved with it. It's there for your faith. Okay, it's there for your faith. Okay, verse 14. Okay, and we got about 4 minutes left here. You want to prepare your sacrifices. You should not be double-tongued or double-minded or double-tongued. And that's why the Apostle Paul says the same thing. Think on these things. Okay, Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 5. Just think on these. Philippians 4, 6. Think on these things. Those things which are true, honest, just, lovely, okay, and good report. Okay, you should not be double-minded nor double-tongued. Okay, to be double-minded, of course, you're leaning to things of the world, but you want to live a Christian life, but you lean towards the wisdom of the world. Okay, and that's going to put you in a state of confusion, okay, vulnerability, okay, and guilt. And that's all it does. It just puts you in a state of guilt. So if you want to carry that guilt, okay, you have to continue to pursue those things which are good and abhor that which is evil. Okay, for a double tongue is a snare of death. Okay, so you have to think on things which God has provided for you in order to escape Satan's snare. Okay, you should be subject unto the Lord and to inferior masters as to the representatives of God in fear and reverence. Okay, so you have to take some foresight, okay, as concerning knowing what Satan's snare is and knowing his wiles, to remove your foot from them. That means it takes prudence on your part, okay, to avoid certain things. Okay, yeah, you can't keep yourself pure by hanging out till 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, okay, with unrighteous people. It won't happen. Okay, because not only are they going to keep you up, but then you're going to oversleep. Okay, the next thing it is you're going to fall behind your prayers. Next thing it is, you're going to be too tired to read your Bible. Next thing it is, you're not even going to be, you're just too weak to go to the assembly, see? So you have to lose the word in your vocabulary called hanging out. You have to lose that word. Okay, I'm saying this to save your soul. I'm not saying this in a scolding. I'm saying this in a word for save your soul. You can't hang out to all hours of night, you know, and expect to walk uprightly. Okay, because the longer you're away from the light, okay, you're going to start bending over again, walking on all fours again. Okay. Okay, and that means you're going to be under that influence. You don't want to be under that influence. Okay, you want to be under an influence. There's just nothing there. Now, if you want to pray all night, that's all right. You want to pray in the spirit. You want to have and fellowship all night. Hey, you could do that also. I wouldn't say do that all the time, every night, because you know it would wear you down. You need your rest. But sure, you can select time to do that. Okay? Which we have done. We have done that. Okay, where we went up at sometimes from 4 in the morning. A couple times we're up to 4 in the morning, and then one time I think we're up till dawn. Okay, when the sun came up. Okay, and this is when we're in a group prayer, right, praying in the spirit, prophesying all night. Okay, of course we take breaks. Okay, and concerning that, but we have done those things, and I have been greatly uplifted by that. And of course, I look forward to where something of that could be taking place again. Okay, but I don't want to burn you with this, nor weary you with the idea right now. Right now, just you know, if you're starting out 30 minutes a day, start with 30 minutes a day, but be consistent with it. Okay, and then go from 30 minutes a day for 1 week, 1 hour next week. Okay, increase that, because this teaches you self-discipline. This is why I'm telling you this. It begins with self-discipline. Okay, working with the Spirit of the Lord begins with self-discipline. God will assist you. Okay, if you apply yourself, God will assist you. You should not be bitter in your commands towards any of your servants, but that trust in God. Okay, lest you chance not to fear Him. Thus fear God, who is over both, because He came not to call any with respect to persons, but whomsoever the Spirit hath prepared. That is, we're God's children. And it's now 8:30. Well, I was hoping we can get through Barnabas this evening. Okay, but we're going to stop right there, chapter 14, verse 16, and get ready to offer our sacrifices here.